From the latest hip hop beats to social issues that cripple the black community, all from the perspective of a young, strong black woman.
A strong black woman.
And now your host, Rita.
Welcome back, everyone, for another episode of According to RP on WJMS Radio, powered by Black Ivy Media. It's your girl, Rita Pierre, your host, and as always, I hope you guys are striving, thriving, and surviving in these corona-infested streets. So happy new month, guys. Happy July. Happy Sunday. Today apparently is July 4th, but we are no longer acknowledging July 4th on this platform. Happy Juneteenth Junior Day. Happy Juneteenth the 2nd. And many of you are saying happy 15 days after Juneteenth Day. Either way, that's not going to stop me from going outside and getting a piece of burger from somewhere, a piece of Impossible Meat or Beyond Burger from somewhere. I hope you guys did enjoy the time off. I hope that you guys are enjoying the sun. Many of us do not have work tomorrow. I guess thank you, July 4th, for that. But I hope that you guys are enjoying yourselves. Today we have an amazing show. We have an amazing guest by the name of Jessica Sinatus. She is a friend of mine, and we are essentially going to be recapping some of the nonsense that was going on this week, from the Bill Cosby release, from Felicia Rashad's statement in solidarity of Bill Cosby. We're going to be talking about the Sha'Carri Richardson fiasco and much more. So because of this, we are not going to be able to go through our preliminaries this week. You want to stay tuned for next week for the Urban Dictionary Word or Phrase of the Week, Haitian, Creole Word or Phrase, etc. Because today's show is jam-packed. I am going to warn you, it is a little bit in overtime. We are about an hour and a half, I think, into this week's show, but you definitely want to keep it locked. Jessica is hilarious. And we do talk about a lot of interesting things and come up to some interesting points. And so let's keep it locked for that. And with that being said, everyone, it is now time for the meat of the show. All right, everyone, I'm here with my very special guest, Jessica Sinatus. Jessica, please say hello.
Hello to the people.
So Jessica is a very dear friend of mine. I've known her forever. I don't even know like when the first time we met was, but it's been a very long time. We're church sisters. We've sang together in groups and choirs, and Jessica's just a ball of laughs. And so I thought that today would be amazing to have her as my co-host and co-commentator on the spectacle that was this past week. But Jessica, please let the people know a little bit about who you are, where you're from, and what you do.
Hi, everyone. Like Rita said, I have known her almost all my life. So I'm very much just a ball of energy, if anyone knows me. I'm into healthcare. I'm an aspiring personal blogger. Maybe I'll get there one day.
Amen. Amen.
I'm going to try. And I just love my family, my friends. I love growth and development. I love learning new things, traveling. And I love to laugh.
Yes, that she does.
There you go. That's enough.
All right. So, Jessica, I know that you're aware that this past week has been quite interesting for social media. There's just been a lot of noteworthy things to talk about, and I definitely want to get into the conversations. A lot of controversy. I feel like the black community is consistently being divided with these topics.
As if we don't need any more divide.
Do you know what I'm saying? So let's get into today's intended topics, right? So like I said, a lot's been going on this week. I mean, at one point I was like, what else is about to happen? I ain't got time to talk about all these things. But, you know, I'm trying to think of what the first issue was. But let's talk about Tabitha and Wendy Williams. I don't remember Tabitha's name, but she's the vegan influencer.
Tabitha Brown.
Yes, Tabitha Brown. Yes.
Auntie
Tabitha. Auntie Tab. Yes. So Tabitha Brown, she is she's an actress, right? I heard she's in the movie or in the series The Chi. I haven't seen it yet.
She did the first season in The Chi.
Yeah, so she's in The Chi. I haven't seen it yet, but I heard she's in there. I know her more so for her social media posts and her teaching people how to eat clean and eat vegan and enjoy being vegan. And then all her funny, talks and stuff that she does after that. She's not an A-list celebrity. You know, she's making her way up there. She's an influencer.
She's an F-list.
F, right? Maybe, I don't know, QRFS, I don't know. Whatever is under the D-list, she's there. Not in a, and we're not being shady. I don't want people putting avocados
on
avocados. We're not being shady, but what we're saying is that she's up and coming. She's an influencer, and I don't know what category they have influencers are, but she's not quote unquote a celebrity. People are still like, she's not a household name yet, but she will be. Yeah, she will be. But so, Tabitha, who likes to mind her own business and tells people to mind their own business, apparently was the subject of Wendy Williams' Hot Topics section, right? So Tabitha had come out with, I think, a post or I think a video or whatever it was, basically saying that she's going to be retiring her husband after he worked 15 years as a police officer in the LAPD. So Wendy saw this and was like, you know, I got to talk about it, right? And so she had her as the Hot Topic post. And I actually watched the video where she's like, yeah, you know, she's talking about, you know, retiring her husband. She was like, nope, I don't think so. I had one of those before. You know, you're bringing in all the money. You have him doing his own little thing. And look where that has got me, right? Because, you know, she's in the middle of a divorce right now. Her husband is gallivanting
with his forever girlfriend, according
yes.
to
him. Yes, his soulmate, right? His soulmate. And so Wendy's just like, no, you absolutely don't retire your man, right? Mm-hmm. And she even went as far as to say, you know, that watch, their relationship is now going to be rocky. She even did a little hand gesture, like it's going to be on, you know, on sinking sand, right? So then, obviously, I didn't even know that. I knew Tabitha had a tribe. I did not know she had such a tribe, because the people went to Wendy Williams's page and started throwing avocados and tomatoes.
It's and lettuce. All under the comments.
Okay. Oh my God. I mean, the beehive is strong and there's nothing like the beehive, but I've never seen an attempt to replicate the beehive.
You know what I call them? A farmer's market.
Yes.
Farmer's market.
Jessica literally was like, so, you know, what's up with the farmer's market?
Tabitha got a farmer's market. Child, it was throwing. Only thing I didn't see, honestly, was a banana. I was like, what is going on here?
I didn't see banana. I didn't see parsnip. But they threw up the avocados, the tomatoes,
no
lettuce. I was like, what is going
Remember,
on
she here? Is a social media influencer. So she has she her, is. She that's her world. She's not on daytime television, but she is on social media.
She definitely is. And the people love her. She, you know, she has a very, you know, sweet spirit about herself. And she's inspirational, you know, like she's inspirational. She has that Southern twang thing going on that people like to hear.
Yeah. And she, in her family, look, when it comes to her marriage and her family and her, like, starting her business small, you know, she's been very transparent on social media. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, people nowadays, we love transparency, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, she's natural, she's vegan, she's kind of, you know, that's a whole new influence that's a whole new world of influence. And so I think she has her niche. Like, that's her corner. And there's a lot of people, that's where everybody's going, right? To natural, vegan, you know, a Black Love, you know?
Yes.
On Black Love as well. I think her husband were on Black Love.
I don't know if I saw that episode, I wouldn't be shocked though, because they embody all of that, right?
Yeah.
But I think what everybody took from this Wendy Williams situation is that you can read somebody without using a curse word. You can let somebody know about themselves and snatch them and gather them all together without using not one curse word.
Yeah, like, and no aggression.
No aggression. In a soft, in her pajamas. In her pajamas. Like, he was like, girl, she's like.
Is it her nails?
Yes, her nails. She's like,
I would never do those nails, but it went for the green on her pajamas.
It went for the green. He was like, I woke up this morning. I didn't even know what was going on. And people were just texting me and let me know that Wendy was talking about me. And so she's like, I had to make this video. And I mean, this woman essentially was like, we need to pray for people like Wendy Williams. We need to pray that they find love and that somebody loves them so much that they're willing to sacrifice, you know, that she finds true love. And I was like,
and that she would know what this type of love feels like. What? Genuine.
That genuine love.
You got to give the accent. Oh my God. She said, yes. And I pray for anyone else who needs to find this love.
No.
And will have the privilege. She's like, me and my husband had an agreement.
She's like, that's what happens when you put God first. Because yes, he's first.
He is the first in our marriage.
She is the first. And she was like, ooh.
And she read her. And my husband, yes. And he has a not-for-profit, meaning he got multiple. He already doing for himself, sis.
He's already doing. He's not.
And he wants to come more into. And you know what your purpose, and it's good to know what your purpose is. And you know what your God-given purpose is. You can leave it 9-to-5 and put your focus on your purpose. I was like, okay, Tabitha.
Listen, she was preaching. She was reading. She was snatching. She was. She said, why would you go against? My favorite line was, she's like, ooh, why would you go against God?
You put God in it. You know what's all right now.
Oh, my God.
I was like, here, okay, let's go back to this, right? So, Wendy, you had a messed up relationship. I saw the Wendy Williams movie, too. You're not watching the movie. So, mm-hmm. I've seen the Wendy Williams movie. I've seen what she went through with her husband. Wendy had a sick, like, her story is sick. Like, I felt so bad. A lot of points of it was very sad, but a lot of it was up in the air. So I really couldn't tell how much of it really blended together because it's so all over the place. Right? Yeah. But you're used to toxicity. So it's not fair for you to bring your toxicity into something that's, you know, maybe normal. No, and everybody's for black love, sis. So if she's running her black love story, she's not saying she's gonna take care of her man. She's saying, my man took care of me.
Mm-hmm. They were in agreement,
right? He has allowed me to live my passion, live my dream, and I've been able to, you know, stand on his back while I was doing it. And now that we've gotten to a certain point that we have agreed on, now it's his turn to flourish. She didn't say that she's gonna put herself aside. Mm-mm. She just said, it's now his turn now. Now that we gotten to this point, it's his turn. This is a family. They got kids.
They got kids.
They have a life together. Like, are you serious? Like,
and she didn't say that he was going to be an at-home dad either.
No, she did not. She didn't say she was going to stop. Like, and she, Tabitha hasn't even reached the point, right? This is why I give Tabitha credit. She hasn't reached this point where she's so successful now, right? Mm-hmm. We're doing so well. That my husband don't gotta work no more. You know, he could live his dream. No, she didn't say that. I got into a point, right? Who knows what that point is, right? I got to this point now where he can leave his job. Can you imagine a LAPD officer retiring in 15 years? Mm. Leaving behind a lot of things?
Yeah.
And that means whatever his dream is, whatever their dreams were, right? It's worth it.
Yeah. And what I commend them for is that, again, his dream still involves the community. He's not leaving his job to be a rapper,
to open up his own music label.
No, he's going to be coaching kids and training the future of tomorrow, right? But we all know nonprofits, those people who know how nonprofits run. Especially with Tabitha's influence, mm-hmm. as well, they're going to get money and sponsorships and funding, and he will be able to take a salary as the CEO or president of this nonprofit. So he's going to be bringing in six figures, if not more, when the time comes.
And it's probably under both of their names.
I'm sure it is because they work in agreements.
They're a real couple. They're a real couple. It's not two people who are searching for fame, right?
Yeah.
So I'm like, it works. And what I don't like is that people want to talk down on other people's relationships.
Yeah.
Because it's not like, it's not what you experienced, right? Mm-hmm. You should be like, yo, I'm happy for her. I wish I could have done that too, Wendy.
Let me tell you something. I feel like people who are truly in agreement, not just in love, right, but are truly in agreement and have, you know, put God first, as Auntie Tabitha has told us to do. I think that, you know what I mean? Like, to really put him first, you know, I feel like, you know, the joy that they have for each other, right, in terms of wanting to see each other be successful, like, what
genuine joy.
What woman would not want to take their spouse, their husband, out of a situation that's not their purpose and place them in a place that's their purpose and allow them to flourish and still bring in funds for the family, right? Again, this is not a hobby. This is an actual, like, position that will lead to money, right? And what husband who's doing well enough would not want to take his wife out of working in the hospitals or working in wherever the hell she's working so that she could fulfill her purpose?
That's right. And what you have to see too, Rita, is that along her ride, her husband has always been with her. Mm-hmm. He's never been not with her along her ride to fame, right? He, like, I believe it, the reason why I'm saying black love, because I have a pictographic memory, so, right? So I'm seeing them on the couch together on Black Love. I'm like, I'm pretty sure he was there, right? Mm-hmm. He's in her videos. When she does her vegan food, he's tasting it, right?
Yes.
So she's already included her husband on her ride to fame. So now it's really just now both of them sharing the light, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think she said, let me dim my light for him. She just is, we're going to share the light.
She never said that.
We're making, okay, I'm not saying, oh, I got to take care. I'm the only one taking care of my man. But I'm saying, what's wrong with your man flourishing too? Why does he have to be in the background just for you to shine?
Yeah. Why does he have to do something that's not his passion or purpose?
And you get scores.
Yeah. Especially if you don't have to struggle. I understand the struggle because she said they struggled together. You know, in fact, I think that they left the South to move to LA so that she could have this opportunity to get her acting career and stuff on, right? So he made those sacrifices because he was probably working whatever jobs they work in the South that, you know, was doing well for him. But I think that, you know, people are really fixated on whatever the societal norms are. And so they really don't step back and see that every relationship is personal and individual, and that it's okay for both parties to live out their dreams together. There doesn't have to be somebody struggling for, like, that doesn't have to be part of the narrative, right? That somebody got to be struggling to keep things above ground. Like, both people can live their passions. And I think that people, when they hear about people, you know, this term, like, oh, living out your passion, they think hobby. They don't think that, like, your career, pursuing a career could be your life's passion.
Yes. And they don't think of money, the money part of it, right? They assume that, like, kind of what Wendy said, right? Like, oh, this deal didn't work. Oh, I got swindled here. I got swindled there. We're going to make all these frivolous decisions just because you're trying to live out your passion or dream. Like a lot of people did, I guess, back in the day, trying to get into acting or into the industry. And remember, that's what Wendy's accustomed to. That's the world she's been in for so long, right? Mm-hmm. Versus now, people are well more educated. They are more more intentional, right? Mm-hmm. Of steps that they're going to take now to get to where they need to be. Not everyone is like, get the 9-to-5, right? Get the 9-to-5, learn your hustle, right? And when it's time that you can now leave the 9-to-5 to really live out your dream, you're going to do it like that. It's more calculated now.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so I kudos to Tabitha Brown and her husband. All right. Black love to the fullest. we should both be able to shine. That's the goal. We should both be able to shine. There's nothing wrong with it. Right. And should be something that we should all aspire, because, you know, when one person's shining and the other person isn't, the resentment that goes.
Yes.
That's when your marriage, we're going to have problems. You know, when one person is flourishing, the next person is like still working at 9-to-5. And that's not what they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So
people don't get
that. Their marriage is going to be just fine, Wendy.
Yeah, I think Wendy, I mean, I understand that part of her persona is to be messy, right? Because I think that people are like, they're mad at Wendy, they're this, but at the end of the day, I have to pull back a little bit. This is what she gets paid to do. Like, Wendy's always been messy. This has been the crux of her career. People love tuning into Hot Topics just to hear who she's going to shade next, right? So I think that in this particular instance, though, Wendy should have picked somebody else, you know, not Black America's sweetheart, you know? She should have stayed away from her. And, like, I mean, there's plenty of mess in the world for her to talk about. She could have left Tabitha alone and then projecting, like, Erica Mena and some of these other celebrities that have been messy in these streets, Atlanta Housewives.
Looking for the 15th.
Yeah, that's fine. You know, if she's talking about Phaedra Parks or whatever, like, I'm not going to be throwing up, you know, peaches or whatever under, you know what I'm saying? Wendy's status. I'm not doing that. You know what I'm saying? But you can't find a wholesome person who's minding her own business and then trying to bring them in your shady forefront. Like, that just can't work.
No, and did you notice that when she first started talking about Tabitha Brown and when they first did the video, people were clapping?
Yes, and she was like, "Nope."
Clapping, and then she like turned it like 360. I mean 180. I'm like Wendy, pay attention to your audience.
Yes,
people knew her. People liked her.
Yep. I'm like, again, you could shade, you know, Mimi Foss, all these other people, Love and Hip Hop crew, but you can't shade, you know, like I said, Black America sweetheart. You can't do that. You can't do that. But either way.
Oh, my God. So how are you doing, Wendy?
You know what I'm saying? I mean, clearly she's not doing well because her ex-husband's out here, you know, flaunting his soulmate. Clearly she's not doing well.
But I hope his soulmate may pick up on some things. You see what happened to DMX's fiance, right?
Listen. That's another topic. I mean, we are definitely going off script here, but we need to talk about that because that's also something that I, you know, had mentioned with some of my friends, and I'm like, we didn't talk about this. I think I posted something about it, or I commented about it, but yes, this is probably going to be a larger show at some point, but this whole idea, and part of me thinks that the reason that this is a thing is because, unfortunately, Black women, you know, we end up going for these dudes that are not, they're not right for us, right? Mm-hmm. And instead of, like, you know, really sitting in our worth and saying, I want to be with somebody who's going to acknowledge me, who has no problem letting everybody know that I am his woman. And then
including
including the legal systems of this mm-hmm. country, to make it official. To make me your wife. Mm-hmm. But it's like when we enter these situations where we know these men are not about that life, instead of demanding it or saying, you know what, I'm out, we're like, nah, I'm cool with that. It's just a piece of paper anyways. And it's like we're settling and then we're trying to own the settlement, right? We're like, nah, that's my choice. Like, it's just a piece of paper anyways. When we know damn well, sis, you want the ring. You want to be married because you're doing all the married people things.
Yeah, but with no protection, you see?
But with no protection.
But I tell people, listen, the same way a birth certificate is a paper, social security card is a paper, driver's license is a paper. Like, oh, you still need, you're going to need it.
Yeah.
Because the title to the house is a paper, okay?
Yes.
The title to the car is a paper. It's all a paper, right? A dollar bill is a paper. How about you're going to need it? And you need to make sure that you have the proper documents in place, okay? It's all for insurance purposes.
It's insurance.
Or it's all for identification purposes, all right? Now, look, you sit there, you're with someone for 10 years, 11 years, 12 years, 5 years. You don't give them kids. Mm-hmm. You don't mind going to the courts for papers to get child support, right? But you didn't cover yourself. You covered your kids, but you didn't cover yourself.
Yeah. The person who poured into the, again, there are situations where I'm fully aware that there are men and women mm-hmm. who don't want to be married for whatever their particular reason is. They might, you know, but I find that those individuals are those who have their own. Like, if you were to die today, sir, I personally don't care because I actually have my own protections. You know what I mean? I got my money in the bank. My funeral's already covered. You know what I mean? Like, I have, like, mm-hmm. I don't necessarily need your health insurance. Like, I don't care. There are people who really don't care because they're like, I got mine. Like, if he dies, you know, as long as the kids are protected, I don't care. Some people don't care. But that's not the majority of the people. Mm-hmm. You know, like DMX, I can't say wife because she was trying to go for common law status, but that doesn't really exist. His girlfriend, essentially, fiance or whatever, is not part of the estate. She's not part of the estate. 10 years I'm with this guy, helping you build, being there with you when all these things were going down. He acknowledged me to the world that I'm his fiance. He loves me. But now when it comes to the estate, you're not part of the estate planning, boo.
You know, get your papers in order.
But if she was married to him, especially in the state of New York, if she was married to him and he died without a will, because I don't even know if he had a will or whatever, but let's just say...
I think he didn't have a will. I think this is why we're having this problem, right?
So if he died without a will, she would get the first 50% of his estate, and then the second 50% gets split into equal shares with his kids. So if he got 15 kids, that 50% would be split with 15 ways with his 15 kids, but his wife would have the first 50%. Yeah. She would have, you know, she would have a stake in the game. So all these random ass family members who are coming after his estate right now would have to go sit down somewhere and be at the mercy of her to say, let me break you off something. That's the control that she would have had over the estate that she helped build.
But is it a piece of what we're missing here is education, right? Mm-hmm. Is that it? We're missing the educational piece, right?
We're missing education, but I feel like it's not just education. It's like a change of the mindset, because the culture and the community has made us believe that this is okay. I mean, how many of our relatives were in Plassage, were like hanging out? Plassage, that would be the Creole word of the week. Plassage, Plassé, shacking up, you know, for 20 years, 30 years, mad kids, mad assets together.
And you never knew Uncle Bobby and whatever wasn't married.
Didn't know that they were married.
And what's his name is not, they're not married. Never were married.
So when he dies, because he's going to die without a will, because most of them don't have wills, you're not going to get nothing.
Not a
name.
Right? In 2021, right? Mm-hmm. If we don't get it together and we don't understand, we don't learn what we need to learn, we're going to mess ourselves up.
Yeah. I mean, generational wealth and legacy, like, has to be at the forefront, you know, of our thoughts moving forward, right? How I'm not building a legacy with you, sir, if we're not married. We're not building generational wealth together. We're not, because we're talking about like the long term, the solidification of things. If you were to die, that wealth is going to, if we have kids, will go to the kids. But if not, it's going to go to your mama and them.
Mm-hmm. The wealth that I helped you build.
Mm-hmm. And it's not just getting married and having, you know, that too. It's making sure that your name is on the house, making sure that your name is on the car, making sure that, you know, your name is on the proper assets, right? And the proper things. But I think that, again, there are people who don't want to get married. And I totally get it. Like, you know, I always go back and forth as to whether or not I actually want to engage in such activities. But
Now that you're
you know what I'm saying?
If you're gonna be with, I would say if you're gonna be with someone, right? Because my question to people who don't want to get married, right? I got it. But then are you assuming that you're setting into some long term relationship type of thing? Like, if you plan on doing a long term relationship, then you may have to want to consider marriage, or at least having the paper for whatever partnership deals agreements you guys want to do it. Because I work in long term care. A lot of patients I know have their significant others, right? It could be living together for 50 years, 60 years. And now it comes time to make these lifelong decisions for that patient, right? Because something happens and now they're, you know, like you said, going to die. Now who gets to make the decision? Yeah. You have healthcare practices and such, but there's so much that goes into that when it now comes to like a patient having assets, need to be taken care of. Mm-hmm. And now you're just, everything's just in your face. And you're like, you have to make certain decisions and you have to fight with the family now. Mm-hmm. The daughter who now is estranged.
Yes. It's popped, heard that her daddy is sick and popped up out of nowhere.
Okay. And I've seen it happen where people have like their long-term girlfriend or boyfriend, right? And now what happens is such and such needs money for certain health situations and they do have money. And now we need to use the money. And then the family's going, oh no, we're not taking out from her account to take care of our mother who's sick. We're not going to use her money to take care of her when she's sick, because that money's going to be for us.
Mm-hmm. And so, that piece is where I think where the educational component comes in. If you are one of those people who, for whatever reason, are adamant about not getting married, but yet want to live like you're married. That's where power of attorneys come in, right? That's where a lot of these more than just a healthcare proxy, but these financial legal documents come in. But most of these people don't have that because they're not either aware or they've never been educated about these things. But, you know, if you were married, you might be able to avoid. Because I've been in the hospital, too, where they're like, you know, pull the plug on certain people, right? Uh-huh. And one of my friends, that happened to him, where his mom and dad were not married. I thought they were married, but they were apparently not married for all of it. Like, his entire, I thought that they were married. They were not married. 30-something years, not married. So when it came down to who has the decision to pull the plug, it was like it fell on the kids, and I don't think the siblings had a say, but it was the kids, right? The spouse who actually knew the answer and who knew how to move forward because he's had these conversations with his long-term significant other really didn't have a say and was at the mercy of the children. The children who weren't really around, who might have ulterior motives, like you said, like, ooh, mommy got money in the bank.
In the bank.
Let's just pull the plug. And the father, who's just like, this is not what mom would have wanted, but they're like, you don't have the power.
Wow.
It gets scary, like, the deeper you go into it. And a lot of people don't think that deep. They just see the surface area of it, like, oh, you know, marriage is not for everybody. It's like, okay, that's cool. But why are you, but marriage is not for everybody, but you're doing marriage things. Like you guys are living your lives as if you're married. It's one thing if you're like, okay, that's my long-term boyfriend or girlfriend. I got my own place. He got his own place. Our bank account.
But you're going to be living together. Y'all sharing credit cards. Y'all to some extent, y'all sharing credit cards.
Sharing bank accounts.
Yeah. And I'm like, so now let's have a conversation. Like, so what's the problem? You know? And I'm like, I think people have also over-spiritualized marriage. Mm. I'm like, there are different aspects of marriage, right? Yes, it is. We first learned of marriage through the Bible, right?
Yeah.
Or in a church, whatever. So that is there. All right. So, but in the society that we live in now, the customs and the norms, it's not all spiritual, right? Because we have all these other marriages, whether or not we agree or disagree or how they go. There's now other forms of marriages away from what we learn biblically, right? So that means it's not such a spiritual thing. There's also laws of the land, right?
Yeah.
Bible says, given to Caesar was the one to Caesar. Caesar is asking that if you want to do this long-term thing, go ahead, but won't you sign this document? Because that's all we're going to acknowledge. I don't care how many churches you got married in. If you don't have the paperwork, done. It's not valid.
That's it. And that's why DMX's boo thing, fiance, is going through what she's going through. My thing is, what's your expectation, right? If she had no expectation in his death to, you know, have a stake in the estate,
Then okay.
We have nothing to talk about. Okay. She thought that being with him for 10 years, not married, was okay. They agreed on it. Maybe for whatever reasons, they felt like the marriage would, you know, taking it a step further might even hinder. That's fine. But don't
did
have any expectations.
Does she not want to be seen as like a gold digger? You know, when you're with that fear of, I don't want to be seen like a gold digger, so I'm not going to talk about these things. That avoidance got her to where she's at right now.
Yeah. I mean, it did get her to where she is now because she has an expectation. Because if she didn't have the expectation, we wouldn't be talking about it. So I guess the motto for me is this. Do what you need to do with your life. Do what you want to do with your life. Marriage is not for everybody. Not everybody wants it. And that's fine. I'm not here preaching marriage because, like I said, I don't even know where I am with that. But what I'm saying is that check your expectations, though. You can't be expecting...
I'm gonna clap for you.
Listen, marriage benefits in death when you were not trying to, you know, be
married in life.
That's what I'm saying. So it's sad. I mean, it is sad, but I think it's, again, you know, the culture that we live in, society that we live in, that has, you know, that has allowed us to really, I mean, you don't really see white people going through these things like this.
No, because guess what? They get married to 2 years. Then they're getting divorced after 2 years.
They don't have a problem.
They're gonna get married again in another year after that.
Yep.
And they're like Jennifer Lopez on the white way, right? You're gonna get married every time. Get married every time.
Yes.
Get your check out of it every time, or protect your assets within it every time. No one's saying that you're going to get married only once, right? Mm-hmm. But what we're saying is every time that you do decide to do this long, this relationship thing, have it last a little bit long term, that you'll protect yourself.
Yeah. And I think that's the difference. We view it in this like spirituality, love, whatever way. And white people in them view it as this is a business transaction.
Because it is.
Yeah. It's a business. It's two people bringing together their assets together or coming together to build wealth.
It is.
I'm not mad at these people who get married 15 times. They know what they're doing.
Because, but think about it, right? These okay, think about the hip-hop industry, right? The black media, right? A lot of these basketball wives, right? Not a lot of them are even wives, like, mm-hmm. be honest, right? A lot of them were, they were girlfriends, right? Or fiancés, quote-unquote. They even had mm-hmm. kids with them, whatever. Right? You did all this and then you're left without nothing. How many of them? Come on, let's go look at basketball wives. How many?
Left with
how many? All right. So, and if we're in the hip hop world, a lot of these rappers or these R&B singers, they date these girls for all this time. You tarnish their names, you tarnish their image and everything just because they were with you for so long, right? And they leave you with nothing.
Well, what happens is that they end up these same women. So what happened? What
I've noticed is they have to go to the next celebrity.
They got to go find the next guy. So yeah. They're okay with being taken care of for the moment, but where's the generational wealth? Where's the wealth building? Because you're hopping from one rich guy. So you're always going to be in the latest Chanel, driving a Bugatti or whatever the case is, but you have to keep up by getting to the next bag each time. You're not... Once you leave like A-Rod or whatever, I'm not saying with Jennifer Lopez. Once you leave like, you know, I don't know, Little Baby or whoever it is that people or whatever now, and he leaves you, you gotta go to another little somebody so that you can continue the back. I mean, look at Cardi B. I'm not mad at Cardi B. Offset is cheating or whatever. She's like, but I'm not gonna have a baby. I'm not gonna be in a long-term relationship and not be married.
Mm.
He might divorce his ass at some point, but right now, when if they are separated, she's gonna get some alimony. She's gonna get that top child support for Culture and her okay. other baby.
That's Cardi.
You know what I'm saying? The marital assets.
It all she want, but she know how to get her guap. Kind of get her guap.
The marital assets when yeah. divorce takes place will have to be split.
Mm-hmm.
Will have to be addressed.
And I think her address is in New York, right? New York has its laws.
She lives in Georgia too, but their laws are not funny either. You know what I'm saying? I don't know where they actually got married. But okay. the thing is that when they do have to come to that divorce table, there will be a split in assets. Now, if she was just his baby mama, there's no what I'm gone. Take all you can do is take me to child support for Culture, but the house, everything else that's not in your name, Cardi, it's mine. Do you see the difference?
See, if I was, I'm not in that realm, right? But if I was in that realm, right, I'm dating the dude for such a long time, which some girls do. Some of them are not that dumb. Make sure he gets you the house under your name. He pays for the house for you, puts it under your name, right? This thing's smart if you're gonna do it that way, right? If he's going to buy me a car, make sure it's under my name. I have the title. Okay. If you plan on hopping around, darling. All right. I'm not a city girl, but the city girls, they teach you some things. I'm going to at least get some things in my name.
Yeah. I mean, you have to, if that's how you're going to play it, right? You have to know what you're going to do, because a lot of these women who do end up with these celebrities do not have for themselves anyways, right? They, mm-hmm. they did not have a career. They did not have their own. Now, if you have your own and you end up like J-Lo has her own, she could do whatever the hell she wants. You know, you want to give me alimony, you don't, that's fine. I'm still a millionaire. I'm still, on my way to a billionaire, whatever. But a lot of these women, you know, like right now, Little Dirk has a baby, has several baby mamas, but he has his most recent baby mama is India, who is his prized possession, right? Everybody. So, but you know what? If Little Dirk ends up leaving India right now, India can only get the child support, whatever building and wealth she was doing with Little Dirk at the time. Mm-hmm. Like that's that. She can't go to the court to be like, oh, we were building together. Where's the proof of that labor? Where's the proof of that? Gosh. Labor?
Well, you know, here's the examples, right? Look at Jay-Z and Beyonce.
Mm-hmm. She didn't have to marry his ass. and he didn't have to marry. They didn't have to be married. That's a couple that didn't have to be married that could still do, but they understand what the marriage can do for their business, mm-hmm. what the marriage can do for their brand, what the marriage can do for their ass. Like, it's a business move. Little, like, Jay-Z yes. out here rapping, talking about bitches and hoes and all this other stuff. And, you know,
and, he's, married, yeah.
and he's married. Let's talk about, you know, again, the culture, society. We have to pay attention. These same rappers who are telling you one thing in the music, they mm-hmm. did the opposite. Offset did not have to marry Cardi B, but then again, I think he did because she's crazy. She probably would have stabbed him. But outside of that, Offset didn't have to marry Cardi B. I mean, look at Future. Future hasn't married not one of his baby mamas. He didn't marry Ciara. Mm-hmm. And look, he's out here, you know, doing his thing. Like, he's staying true to his lyrics. I will say that. I do commend Future. He's staying true to his lyrics. But but you see what I'm saying?
Girl, Fetty Wap, all of them. Like, Masika's still begging for rights that she ain't got.
Masika is still begging.
You want baby mama rights that she's still gonna get from Fetty Wap.
No. You see what I'm saying? Like, we can avoid all of this if we were just to do things right. Just do things right. Or don't do it at all.
Listen, I do find some joys in waking up in the morning, being able to do what I want, sleeping if I want, do this, you know? And if I do decide that I'm going to, you know, share that space of mine and that life of mine, the time and the air of mine with somebody else for such a period of time where now our decisions influence one another on, mm-hmm. you know, decisions made for life will influence one another mm-hmm. or affect one another, then I'm going to say, sir, put a ring on it, put a stamp on it.
Hello.
All right. Signed, sealed, delivered. Or else we can't move forward.
We can't move forward. Mm-hmm. And I think that if more women were to put their foot down like that, there would be a change and a shift in culture, in our society when it comes to marriage. I refuse to believe that all these women really don't want to be married. I believe that these women, unfortunately, are in situations where they know that the best that they can get if they want to stay with this guy mm-hmm. is to be a second-class citizen.
Wow.
because that's what you're allowing yourself to be, a second class citizen. You are not first. Look at Tabitha's relationship. She's first in her husband's life, and he is first in her life, and then God is first in their lives.
Oh my gosh. But think about it, right? Okay. Growing up Haitian, mm-hmm. and we were talking Haitian, right? Remember back in the day, a lot of these women, right? Or most of them women would get paid money to what? To marry somebody mm-hmm. back home mm-hmm. and want to get them papers to come in or keep them, get them to stay here. You get paid buku money. It was thousands of dollars back then.
Well, at the time, the thousands meant something. Right now, don't offer me $3,000.
No, it used to be $10,000.
It needs to be 50.
It used to be like $10,000.
I know somebody who did it for $3,000, and
that person, you don't know your worth.
You don't know your worth. You don't know your worth.
You don't know marriage worth. Okay.
You didn't do the research.
That's your problem. Go. You need to Google that sucker. How much should I be getting paid?
You know. What's the average cost?
But think about it. Like, back in the day, marriage is worth something. Mm-hmm. It's what you can get somebody a whole citizenship, okay?
Listen.
USA citizenship to run away from the gangs in Haiti, okay? Whole citizenship for some US dollars. Child, it's worth something. Who told you it's worth it?
Well, even before, let's take it even back to the ancestral times, right? When you had to give a goat.
Oh.
You had to give some land. You had to give some crops
for that
hand of marriage, right? You had to give some assets, a bushel of corn.
What? Oh my God.
Yeah.
To grow somebody, right?
Yes. Like, oh, you want this one right here? What you got?
What you got?
Highest bidder. Who got, right? It was always transactional.
So is it the fact that men now, okay, question, right? Because I'm not all men. Right, let me try not to generalize, but I'm going to have to generalize, right?
It's hard sometimes.
It's hard, yeah. So, so, is it okay? Okay, no, is it now that men don't want to be held accountable for taking care of a woman or giving her her worth? You don't want to be held accountable for taking care of her or for providing for her, okay? Mm. or giving the sum of her worth, or buying the wedding ring, the quote unquote dowry. Is it that you don't want to be held accountable for the dowry?
I mean, that's a very deep question, but you know what? There's so many layers to that, because I do find that men are not the men of yesterday, right? Meaning this whole, like, I'm bringing home the bacon and, you know, you can stay home and take care of the kids or do whatever, work a part-time job thing is not the case. Men are not paying bills anymore. And the ones who are, like, you know, they're making a certain salary in which it doesn't hurt them to pay the bills, right? So I don't even know if it's a desire. More so it's like, well, I got it, so why not? But the reason I say this is layered is because our society is much different from the society of back then. You know, women are doing so well, and they're surpassing, in many instances, the black man, right? But there are reasons for that, right? There are reasons why the black woman is surpassing the black man. There's, you know, there's society. There's, you know, there's men being locked up for no reason. There's drugs. There's all these things that have been keeping the black men down. And you know, creating this friction and creating this division, in a sense, right, between black women and black men. So in some situations, I don't even think that the black man can take care of the black woman the way that he would want to in this day and age. Because if I'm making six figures and you're a blue collared man who's only making maybe between $40,000 and $60,000 a year, it has to be like, there has to be an agreement, like Tabitha's saying. There has to be some sort of like y'all have to really like, there has, like, this has to be a spirit. I mean, I keep going back to her because
you're Kevin Samuels on the left side of my ear.
You know what I'm saying? I feel like there has to be some real discussion, like, you know, like, okay, I make more, you make this, but here's how we're going to balance it out in the home. How is how we're going to do this? But I find that a lot of men, they even if they wanted to, they would not be able to take care of the black women in all aspects. I'm not just, I know people be like, oh, this is a financial conversation. No, emotionally you can help, you know, you can be there. Spiritually you can be there. But we can't act like the financial piece is not necessarily the driving force in relationships, right? 50% of marriages fail, and a lot of it is because of finance.
Financial, yeah.
Right?
So what is, okay, so, because I like to look at solutions, right? So what is the solution in this particular situation, right? Because we're going to be marrying them anyway, right? We women who make a certain amount of money, whether it's high or low, or the man who doesn't make that much, they're going to get married anyway, right? It's going to still happen to some extent, right? Or everybody is going to end up single, like Kevin Samuels says, right? Because according to Kevin Samuels, a lot of us ain't getting a high value man anyway, right?
No, so we're not. We're
let's
not.
Bring it back down. Let's go back down and let's have a conversation. Now, what are we looking at? In terms of how figuring out how this relationship is going to work.
It's two ways. One, you got to put God first. That's the number one.
Yeah, I'm so done with your reading.
You got to put God first. You got to put God first. But outside of putting God first, because that should be obvious to anyone. I've had conversations like this with some of my girlfriends too, who are in different, you know, places in life. One suggestion from this particular group is that people need to stick within their class.
Well, how about if everybody's not in the same class? Like, so that
you,
fine.
You gotta stick to your class. Then is what is.
Or stay single. Or stay single.
Yeah, I mean, if you are like high, so what she's saying is that high valued women need to deal with high valued men, or be be okay with the guy who's not gonna be high value, but appreciate the other qualities that he can lend to the marriage, right?
Okay, I agree to disagree. I agree and disagree. Okay, hold on. So my thing is, I know they say women, we're always thinking of building up a guy, and we're always thinking of, you know,
projects.
Yeah, projects, whatever. But I do believe that, first of all, depending on how much you make, because listen, making six figures don't feel like six figures, okay?
Not in New York City.
Not in New York City. It does not feel like six figures, no matter how much of the six you made. Taxes to take most of that. So technically me and that 40,000, we probably make the same amount of money. Let's be honest.
Right.
At the end of the day. All right. So I think once you start to look at things in the proper perspective is where the conversation starts, right? Like, how much does it take for us to live and survive? And how much are we going to be able to financially both contribute to this particular lifestyle that we do want, right? So somebody who's making quote unquote $50,000 a year, right? What's your lifestyle like, or what's the ideal lifestyle? lifestyle like? Is it like what I have at a certain amount of money a year, or is it basically where you're at, right? Because I don't mind dating this guy where I'm big on vacations, right? I'm big on going on vacations. I may go on, like, when I go on vacations, I like the nicest hotel. Like, I'm sorry. I like to do things nicely for myself, right? Listen, you work hard.
As you should. Hard. You deserve it.
Praise the Lord, right? you work hard, you play hard, right? And I remember the person said, well, like, they couldn't understand it. I'm like, okay, one vacation. And no, I don't do one vacation a year. If I get a chance, I'm going out multiple times within the year. Like
every quarter, at least.
I got to go somewhere. It's just, and it's for me, as you know, we're traveling, seeing the world just opened your eyes a totally different way, right? Mm-hmm. Even being able to think at the beach, okay?
Yes.
On an island somewhere. It's a whole different lifestyle, right? But so now to him, I guess because he doesn't do that, to him it was like, I think that's a waste of money. It's almost like it's, you know, it's out of the league. I'm like, it's not out of the league.
Because you don't have it.
It's out of your mind. It's out of your league. It's not out of my league. Mm-hmm. But let's talk about, we're not even talking about financial league, because I know people who don't make that much money who travel all the time. Mm-hmm. So it's out of your mind league. Perception, that's where it's out of your mind league, right? Because I'm like, but let's talk about how we can do this financially, right? How about if we were to book our trips in advance, right? Mm-hmm. On a credit card or whatever, and we're paying that credit card off throughout the year. Mm-hmm. But we've booked all of our trips.
Yes.
You see the difference, right?
Planning.
And budgeting, right? Mm-hmm. To get there. So I think it's the same thing with the travel, right? It's about creating the solutions to be able to still get what you guys both want in the relationship.
Yeah. No, I understand where you're coming from. I mean, me personally, I wouldn't say that I have dated like high valued men. Like, I think I dated maybe one or two guys who, you know, had like advanced degrees and were doing what they felt like they needed to do. But you know, I mean, I'm from the community, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm Haitian or whatever. Like, I see people for their personality. I see people for their heart, you know. I mean, it sounds like sappy or whatever, but you know, that's how I guess I've been caught in some of these situations. But I see, I don't look to be like, oh, how much do you make? Like, I don't ask that question. How much do you make? I look to see like what your qualities are, because finance is great. Right. And maybe it's because I've come from a family where the women are the one who always held stuff down anyway. So I'm not even used to seeing a man really step up.
Yeah, we messed up anyway. I think that's
I don't even know what it is to have a man really contribute to a household. Like, I've never seen that, you know? So therefore that's not my expectation. Mm-hmm. I'm actually like, yo, I'm taking care of all of this, right? Like, I'm gonna make the money, I'm gonna take care of all this. That's how it's not men don't like that, but that's how I was raised and that's what I see. But I think moving forward, like for me, if I find a man who can give me like the support, right? Like the support, the backbone that I'll need to be able to do what I need to do. And somebody who's also ambitious and trying, right? That has an entrepreneurial spirit, who's also trying to build themselves up and get to a place where they're stepping in their purpose, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I appreciate that. Like, if I meet a guy and he doesn't make six figures, I'm not casting you out, because I've talked to guys who made six figures and a lot of them are assholes. They are. They don't even jive with my spirit, right? But I think something you said is important. Like, you know, you need to really figure out, you know, what the commonalities are. If I am with a guy who doesn't make six figures, but he appreciates travel, then we're going to figure out how we're going to travel together. Mm-hmm. But if I'm with a guy who, you know, not only can he afford it, doesn't know how to budget, and then he's like, ooh, I don't know about traveling. Like, what's the point? What's this?
He's going to buy a BMW
on credit. Right. And pay $2,000 car note, because that's where his interest lies. Right. You got to make sure that you're with somebody who has your same has some of at least the same core values you have, and appreciate some of the things that you appreciate. But I feel like we're all stuck in this like real interesting rat race. Right. Like, we're not, I don't know. I feel like, you know, women, a lot of us, like, I don't even think we really know what it is that we really want. And we're not willing to accept that we don't know what we want. That's how I feel. I feel like we, I mean, when we truly think about it, we could be like, yeah, I know what I want. I want a man who does this, does that. But I think because a lot of us were not raised in households and in situations to really understand like what a dynamic of a real marriage, what it takes, what you should really want outside mm-hmm. of the financials. Like, instead of accepting that and saying, okay, well, how do I take a step back and really analyze what it is that I need? Who can I speak to really get a good understanding of what real relationships are? We just roll around like it's nothing. And then we end up in situations where, you know.
Where it's totally bad. I think that's
yeah. What- yeah. Because we don't know what we want. And we're not okay. And we're not okay with confronting that reality. Like, it's okay to not know things, and I am not to blame for not knowing, because who would have taught me?
Yeah,
who was gonna teach me?
But there are, let me tell you something. I think growing up in New York, growing up Haitian in New York, let's break it down, right? Growing up Seven Adventist Haitian and in New York, it's a different lifestyle.
It is a different lifestyle.
But we've seen married people all the time, right?
But not happy married people.
Exactly.
But we don't know the story. They don't share with us the story. Like, first of all, you got knocked up. That's why you had to get married, because you were in the church. And that if you guys had maybe not gotten knocked up before wedlock, y'all would have never ended up together, because y'all really don't like each other. That's what I see in the church.
And then you see some couples who, because you got to know them, their kids, and you've been around them, you've been in their home, you do get to see some couples that actually have genuine love for each other.
Mm-hmm.
So we've seen spectrums of it, right?
Yeah.
I know in my family as well, like, I've seen spectrums where I know loving couples, right? I know a lot of people in my family who, some of the women who've been able to stay home, right? And their husband were the breadwinners. Not making that much, but he was still the breadwinner. You know what I'm saying? And it worked for them, right?
And they knew how to save.
And they know how to say they worked it out. I knew some who, the women, a lot of women were working. Husbands would working too, but didn't really have that relationship at home, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then I know, like, even in my own home, my mom was totally the breadwinner. Not because she wanted to be, she just had to be. My mm-hmm. dad could go out and make, he made money too, was a winner for himself, not for us, all right? Mm-hmm. So he was eating the bread for himself. And not taking care of his family, right?
Mercy.
So you end up seeing all these factors, right? And I'm like, so what do I want? So, like, for me, and growing, right, and all these years of developing, now I can say, hey, do you know what you want? Yeah, I know what I want. And there are some things I'm not willing to sacrifice.
Yeah, as you should not.
Yeah. And for me, I would say, listen, it's I can make a certain amount of money. I can decide I want to live a certain amount of lifestyle. Great. Whoever I'm with has to be on the same vision, right? I'm not mm-hmm. saying you're exactly where I'm at, but you're on your vision road, and we're going there. And whatever decisions we make along the way, like Tabitha Brown and her husband, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever decisions we make along the way to get there will be our agreement, will be our decisions, where nobody can tell us what, you know,
mm-hmm.
people's words don't matter because it's decisions that we made along the way. Do I plan on working forever? No, I feel bad for my husband.
Not at all. And husband, if you're listening, I need to be retired in the next 5 years.
Husband, dearly, understand that my plan is not to work full-time forever. That's not the plan. I don't think we were built that way. No. I don't think women was built to work so much, so hard, like, I don't think that was God's plan.
It's not of God.
Not of God. I can tell you that for sure. That's why Eve had time to go off and find a fruit.
Yes.
I need time to explore. I'm not saying get in trouble, but I'm saying explore, like, and live out your passions to its way, but be flexible with your time, yeah. Right? I think women need that. So at this point, I guess, I don't know, like, that's why we're going to sign the contracts, right? We're going to need to...
Listen, sign the contracts.
Because, listen, sir, I will help you build the same I'm going to need you to help me build. And when time comes, you know, I want to be able to be involved in that decision-making process for your life, for our home, for the money that we did build together. I want to be able to get what I'm supposed to get out of it.
And even if me as the woman dies, so let's just take it off the man for a bit. But even if I were to die, he should be entitled to whatever estate, whatever assets, whatever that I left behind as my husband. Right?
Based on our agreement.
Based on the agreement that where God was first.
I like the full circle.
I gotta bring a full circle, girl, because you know God is listening, and I gotta make sure I represent. I gotta make sure I represent Him well.
Check.
Listen, he's listening. And I'm still unmarried. I'm not trying to mess up my chances in anything here.
People like the guy was on the door about to knock, and then he's like, "What did Rita say? Back up. She'll wait another 2 years. She got to wait another 2 years.
We're not waiting another 2 years, girl. God, I'm 37. You know what I'm saying? We can't be doing.
No waiting for Rita, Lord. Let's just pray that over her life right now.
Yes.
No more wait.
No more wait. The wait is over. The wait is over.
Hallelujah. Put your bids in.
listen. There's two more things I want to talk about quickly. Hopefully, we'll be able to make time for it. Let's talk about Bill Cosby first, right? Uncle Cosby, Father Cosby, as many of us have called him. He was the only man in some of our homes.
Dr. Huxtable.
Unfortunately, he was caught up in some situations in his past life that has come forward to his present life and landed him in the people's jail, right? The people's prison. Sexual assault, right? Sexual violence, that's not something we take lightly at all, right? Especially in our community, we know how there's a lot of it was going on, still going on, that people aren't speaking on, and it's ruining people's lives, right? The victims' lives are forever changed. So he was, sent to prison for sexual assault, allegations or whatever, right?
For drugging the girls, right? Drugging the girls. Okay.
Yeah. So now, apparently this week, Father Cosby has been released. He's been released
off a technicality, right?
Off a technicality. Unfortunately, the prosecutorial misconduct was real. They did not do what they needed to do. And because of that, he is out free, as he should, because of the way that the law works, right? A lot of times we're talking about how, the law doesn't work for our people. This is like, I'm a lawyer, so, I love the law. This is the law at its finest, right?
At its finest.
Something messed up, legally, and here are the repercussions. The man has to be free. Like, this is the law at work. We can love it, we can hate it, we can whatever, but this is the law at work, right? However, what I want people to understand is that this does not mean vindication for Father Cosby. This is not saying he is innocent. This has nothing to do with guilt or innocence, because I've been seeing people talk about, if they let him out, that means he's innocent. This has nothing to do with his innocence. This is the law effed up, and they got to rectify it, right?
Mm-hmm.
They got to rectify. And he got a good lawyer, obviously. Mm-hmm. And he's Father Cosby, right?
Father Cosby.
So people have been up in arms, and I totally understand why, because they're like, this is why victims don't come forward. This is why, people feel the way that they feel. I mean, you have a man who, I guess, I don't remember what his statements were, but he had admitted to giving these women's quaaludes.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so you have people saying, well, did he force it down their throat? Like, this is these women were out here wanting it. And, can we say that, what was he guilty of? OK, he gave it to them, but they took it. Right. Like, people are saying all these different things, and they're coming at it from all sorts of perspectives. Do I believe that Cosby is guilty of what he's being accused of? Yes. Yes, I do. Do I believe that he should be in prison for it? I'm one of those people, like, I believe that if you do the crime, you have to do the time. Even though there are white people and others that are doing things every single day and are getting off and are not being held to the standards of the law, that doesn't mean that because somebody, is black and they did it, that we have to be like, but look at everybody else who got off.
Yeah.
They're
wrong
still
is wrong.
Yeah, there are still wrong victims. So that's the thing with Cosby, but I think the greater controversy is not even whether or not Cosby got off. It's Mama Huxtable. It's attorney at law, Huxtable. Claire. Claire, if you will.
Mrs. Huxtable, it's her. She's the problem. I think, her statement. Do you have her statement I read? Can we read that out?
Let me see if I could pull it up, because I did have it.
Yeah, because I think her words are vital, The words that she used and what she said was vital.
This is what she said. Finally, with 4 exclamation points. A terrible, because you got to talk about the exclamation points. A terrible wrong is being righted. A miscarriage of justice is corrected. These were her statements when everybody got the news that Bill Cosby was going to be freed from prison. Now, in analyzing her terms, if we're coming at it from a legal perspective,
legal sense, yeah,
I can understand.
I see what you're saying.
There was a miscarriage of justice because the prosecutors messed up. And so
as the defense side was saying, mm-hmm. how things were being put together and yeah. things that actually are taking place weren't being done correctly, right? Yeah.
So there was a wrong that was righted. And I mean, like it or not, there was a wrong that was righted. However, Miss Claire Huxtable, attorney at law, who is now the dean of performing arts or whatever at Howard University, and I don't know how long that's going to last.
I don't think she's going nowhere.
You can't make that statement the way, like, you can't expect that people are going to interpret what you meant. And maybe I'm just saying it because I'm a lawyer. She probably meant what she said the way that people are taking it, right? She yeah. probably wasn't even talking about it from a legal perspective. But I don't know. I think that as a woman of her stature, with the education that she has, and I hope the emotional intelligence that she possesses, who is now the dean of performing arts at a university campus where sexual assault runs rampant, I would have hoped.
Did you even know that at Howard?
At Howard, I mean, sexual assault runs rampant on all
everywhere.
Campuses,
yeah,
right?
I'm saying like noted.
Yeah, noted. Right. I feel like she could have just sent him the text and said, "Listen, Bill, you know I was riding for you. I was riding for you. I'm happy for you.
I'm happy, but not gonna put it on social media. Hello, Claire.
Yeah,
Claire. Don't do that.
No." I feel like her words, the way that, you know, what she said, I mean, if I'm a victim, right? Like, that's going to sting.
And you're a woman, right?
A woman of color.
Were there women of color that was a part of his victim list?
I believe, yeah, there were. It wasn't just a bunch of white women. There were women of color, but I don't remember, like, their testimony and what exactly, you know,
happened.
They say happened. Because it's been such a long time. I, you know, between that trial and R. Kelly and all this other stuff, I can't.
There was a lot of trials going on. Was it Weinstein?
Yeah, there was a lot going on. Epstein killed himself, but he, you know, but he did. But there was that trial as well, too. I mean, there was that investigation that went on with Epstein as well, too.
The guy for NBC.
Not Bill Maher.
No, there's another guy.
Why is his name? Why is Bill Maher?
Another guy. There's another white guy who was a part of the whole him, too. So they were comparing the way that he was getting treated in Bill Cosby. It was both of them, right?
Exactly.
Okay, what Felicia did, I think she should have kept her comment private. That's number one, because, you know, we're still not over the cancel culture, right? We're getting better, but we're not canceling everybody right away, right? But
we've got a 2 to 4 day waiting period before we cancel.
There we go. Everybody decide, really, are we going to cancel this to the majority lies?
You know what I'm saying?
So for her, I think, all the Bill Cosby shows have been off the major airs, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure BET would have been playing, you know, the Bill Cosby show right now.
Netflix would have had it on there, too, because of the whole, you know, George Floyd.
They would have had those stuff on, very much prevalent for people to see, okay? Because that, they're not on BET, by the way. Okay, so they could have they would have those on. So now understand, Felicia she's trying to get her checks again.
Yes,
she'll get her checks again. Come on.
I mean,
finally, now you get it. Finally.
That I felt like there was some pain in that finally, right? That's what it was, 4 exclamation points.
Finally, exclamation, a wrong has been righted. Okay. I'm about to get my money back because y'all stopped my checks from coming.
Yeah. When you stopped his check, you stopped my check.
You stopped
Rudy's check. you stopped all their checks.
Rudy had to start working again. You see that, right?
Rudy had to start working again, right? Rudy
she's
had
everywhere.
To start.
Now she's on all these little Lifetime Christmas movies, which are very good contracts to have. So with Lifetime, come on. She's going to have all the Christmas movies every year.
Listen.
Lifetime.
I mean, this forced her to pivot, though, right? This did force Rudy to pivot.
To start working again. Yeah. But it also, I think she came out of the light after the situation with her ex-husband, quote-unquote, that she had. It brought her into new light. So Tyler Perry, the movie she did, whatever.
Yes. Wasn't this the same ex-husband of what's her name that was on the Atlanta Housewives first season?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, right.
The football player.
Yes.
Yes.
I don't know which one?
I don't remember, but what was her name again? Crap. I don't remember, but yes, this was yes. Either way, we're getting off topic, but yes. Yeah. So Rudy had to get back to the workforce because the checks were being stopped and whatnot. So yes, I mean, I'm sure that the finally there was many layers and levels to the finally, which was denoted by the several each exclamation point for each you know each thing each point right. Mm-hmm. Finally, you know, exclamation point number one, money's coming back into the fold. Number two, exclamation point, you know, Bill is, you know, going to be out of jail. You know, he's gone blind. Like, he'll be able to have, like, you know, standard medical care. I don't know. Third exclamation point, you know, like, each exclamation point was for something, right?
Oh, my God.
But I feel like, though, right now the community is torn. A lot of people are like, Felicia, where were you going with this? What were you not thinking? This was irresponsible of you to come out and make such a statement like that, especially where, you know, the fact that you're going to be the dean responsible for students.
Yeah, but guess what? They didn't fire her. They didn't cancel her,
but
they allowed her to make her, you know, her statement. Remarks, her statements, yes. You know.
And I think she has to do sexual assault.
I'm going to have to go do a She don't need no counseling on no sex. Come on.
She about to do training.
I don't think she need no training. She needs to train them. But she should, listen, this is Debbie Allen's sister, okay? Felicia Rashad and Debbie Allen they are media. They've studied fine arts. This is what they do. So you knew not to make that statement. She doesn't need training.
Well, what they want her to do, I guess, as a way to show the students and to show the world, like, listen, y'all can trust her again. Y'all can trust her again. She's about to take 10 hours of sexual assault, harassment training.
We're not firing her. I think that's what it was. We're not firing her.
Yeah, we'll see. But yeah, people went hard for that. But that was a little bit of a womp womp for me. I'm like, Felicia, like, you already know how social media rolls. You know how people grab to what, even if that's not what you meant, that's what you said. You should have sent him a congratulations on the side. Like, you should have just,
agreed.
That's how I feel. Or sit down with somebody and structure a statement that was not going to have you looking like you're against victims and you're for perpetrators, right?
Yeah. Which I don't think was her. I don't think that's what she was trying to do anyway, but that's what it's going to be taken as.
But I mean, you made a really good point, though. I think the fact that the money was coming back in, that blinded her judgment. That blinded her judgment.
Remember, this is her boss. This is someone she also worked with. Maybe she never experienced it with him, but she probably worked very closely with him. Because a lot of people, remember her, Rudy. Mm-hmm. Rudy does have a real name. I just can't remember right now. I don't remember that girl's name.
She's Rudy, okay?
Yeah, so Rudy, Vanessa, none of them really said anything. Like, remember, these are people who worked with him as kids or whatever. No, they never said anything about this type of things that everyone said. So it never came. They didn't necessarily say that they agreed either. Mm-hmm. That it's like, oh yeah, of course you've been doing this since you were younger. Oh, we've seen this. No, to them it was far removed. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it may not be the Bill that she knows.
That's true. And I understand that, right? I mean, somebody could be nasty in these streets, but not nasty in the house. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, raising the people at home, but not in the streets, you know, or vice versa.
Or vice versa. So, I mean, I appreciate that she has a different experience, but I think that with a trial like that one, 60 women, right, coming forward and saying what they had to say. I'm not saying I believe all of them, and I'm not saying that I don't believe them. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. Like, Yeah, 60. Their truth is their truth. I'm not here to judge and say who's telling the truth, who's not telling the truth. But I mean, personally, I do believe that he did exactly what he's accused of doing. But
He didn't say he did.
Yeah, but the law worked how it worked, and he's out. You know what I'm saying? Like, it is what it is, and that's just how it is. I just feel like the Felicia should have thought a little more, had been more thoughtful in her response, considering that this is still a very a sensitive and edgy topic for a lot of people, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, listen, I'm not going to cancel her. I mean, I am part of cancel culture, but I cancel who truly deserves to be canceled, right? I think that she should have thought better of what she said. I do believe that she's entitled to her opinion, her feelings because of her history with Bill Cosby. Uh-huh. But I do believe that she had to be more sensitive because you're now on a public platform and you're going to be, again, responsible for young girls and boys who are going to be on your campus.
And somebody who might come to you about a situation that they have.
Exactly. It's all about perception, unfortunately. Perception is what's king out here in these streets. But that's that. So the last thing I wanted to address, because somebody specifically hit me up and was like, I want you to talk about Sha'Carri Richardson on your show and what your thoughts are. And I posted a comment, or I posted a something on According to RP Instagram. Follow us on Instagram, guys, that talks about this. So Sha'Carri Richardson, the young track star, 21 years old, that won the 100 meter, right? Giving her now the ability and placing her into the 2021 Olympics in Tokyo, right? I mean, she came out. I saw it with my own eyes. This chick was running, you know, faster than a speeding bullet. She went, she acknowledged her grandmama, you know, who has been there for her. She shared her personal story that she had recently found out that her biological mother had died. And the way that she found out, a reporter actually was having a conversation with her and informed her during an interview that, oh, you know, your mother had died. And she didn't even know. So I could understand the trauma, the tragedy and finding that out, regardless of how close she was with this parent or not. It's your biological mother, right? And she's fairly young, 21 years old, right? The world fell in love with her because, you know, she's ratchet as hell. You know, ratchet. She had all sorts of colors in her hair, her nails, all sorts of lengths. Her lashes, you know, at all flying away, right? Tattoos all over her body, you know, tatted up queen, trap queen, right? This is her. And the world loved it because here you had somebody actually, not my words, somebody's words, from the gutter. Somebody from the gutter who is representing the culture in such an elite manner, right? The Olympics.
She's going to represent America.
America, yes. So they're like, you too from the gutter can do the same. Like this was, I mean, this is not my words, but this is what people were saying. Like this is why people loved her even more. From the gutter. But that's what they said. But that's why people loved her even more, because they're like, she's just like, she wasn't primed and primed to be this person. So that's what people loved about her. But then, unfortunately, you know, the weed, the marijuana, the Zaza, as they've been calling it, the Zaza
from the gutter,
took precedent. And, she was disqualified from the Olympics, at least for the 100 meter. There might be a chance that she might be able to get into the relay, the women's relay. But for her signature, section or whatever category, she's disqualified because she took, you know, a drug test. Mm-hmm. And she failed the drug test because of the Zaza. They found the chemical, they found the THC in her bloodstream. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And the rules of the Olympics is no drugs. They're very clear. This has been the rules from the beginning of time. This didn't just come up last week, and she didn't just become a runner yesterday. So she knew.
She knew.
But America, more so people from the Black, Latino, and other community, are like, wait. This woman was on air just telling us that her biological mother just died. She found out through an interview she needed to cope. And the Zaza was what helped her cope. But more importantly, this is marijuana. This is not Molly Percocet. This is not, you know, methamphetamine. This is not crack cocaine. This is not, you know, this is none of that stuff. This is the devil's lettuce. Mm-hmm. This is the herb from the ground. Something that has essentially been legalized almost everywhere.
Everywhere.
Right? Mm-hmm. Something, a drug that is not performance enhancing. In fact, I feel like it's a it dehances, if that's even a word, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because if it was me, I'm just saying, if it was me that was on the Zaza, I would have been finding a bleacher to go sleep under. They would have they would have shot that gun, and I would have still been at the starting mark, like, oh, is it time to go yet? Like, but she ran 10.86 under the influence.
Oh my, under the influence
of the Zaza. I'm gonna keep calling it the Zaza because I find it to be the most hilarious thing.
You remember the people? Okay, the people who are also gonna be here, like her. The people who are gonna try to stop her the most is those that she would possibly have beat anyway,
of
right?
Course, of course,
be, right? The Karens, they're gonna be mostly right. Let's be honest.
Well,
right?
a Karen got her spot. A Karen,
of course,
is replacing her,
of course, because somebody else in the shoe, and that's what's gonna happen. Like, and hello,
the person who got fourth place, mind you, the fourth place winner is going to be replacing her in the Olympics,
of course, and they're gonna hold close to the technicality, right? Because it's not fair that they didn't get it anyway.
Yeah.
Right? How does she get it anyway? That's going to be the story, right? But for someone, let me tell you something. For some, I used to watch the Olympics a lot.
I mean, when we didn't have cable, that was the thing.
Yeah, it was on TV all day and all night, right? You watching it. So I would enjoy gymnastics, the swimming.
Me too.
The running. Okay, those are my major ones. And then Marco Polo. I don't know why I watched that crap in the water. The water.
Oh, the water polo sports? Yeah.
Why did I watch that for some reasons? So those were what I mainly used to watch, right? And I do know, like, Michael Phelps, right? That was a big one. Like, I saw Michael Phelps swim. I would, like, stay up, you know, because you remember the different hours of the night.
Depending on
the year, and I'm watching it, like, 2 in the morning, you're watching the Olympics, right? And I used to watch Michael Phelps swim. And I remember what happened to him later on. His career got basically destroyed, right? Mm-hmm, for recreational use as well. But he was going through a severe depression.
Yeah.
He was going through a lot of depression stuff as well, but it didn't matter for him. Like, he was the top, but they took him right down, right?
Yep.
It all came crash for him. So the sad part for her is that you're in this field, you know your field, you know what it takes, right? I mean, you didn't just start running now, you've been running. Just like in high school, right? You might be able to get away with some things in high school, but maybe probably not, right? If your school is strict enough, like, and they find out you're doing certain things, you can't compete, or you can't up the squad, you lose your scholarship, you lose whatever. So it's not new to the athletic world, right? Especially if you're not a Karen who has people to back you up, right?
And then bring peace in and bring their own urine for it out.
Like when you watch a show All American, you see an All American, right? So where you're in the elite of the elite, and therefore they can cover you in certain ways, right? Yeah. So it's unfortunate that you had to deal with all of these things, and it's unfortunate that if she chose to go to marijuana, if the story is as accurate as she's saying it, right? It's unfortunate you had to self-medicate, to deal with your traumas, right? Something that should be normal for the average person is not for you, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's unfortunate. And I'm like, hopefully somebody should tell about CBD oil. That's what I was thinking. Like,
listen,
nobody told this girl to get on CBD.
Here's my thing.
When it won't catch in your bloodstream. Sit.
I mean, I personally think that she enjoys the Zaza. I think that she enjoys it. I mean, listen, and I'm not calling her a pothead. You don't have to be a pothead to enjoy smoking a blunt. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
I think she enjoys it.
She does it regularly. I can tell.
Yeah, no, this is not like somebody like, oh my God, what do I need to cope? Oh, let me go find who sells marijuana here? She had that, you know what I mean? Like, where can I find some marijuana? Oh my gosh. Where can I find? No. Like, for me, if I need coping, I know exactly where to go. I'm either going to call my friends or
have a drink.
Or how have a drink. I'm not an alcoholic, but I might go have a drink, right? Yeah. I'm not necessarily like, damn, Instagram, where can I get the Zaza? You know what I mean? So she already had the dealer. She already had her Zaza Connect in her phone on speed dial. Like, I'm not like, and it's sad to say, because one of my friends was like, unfortunately, like, I'm not shocked. Like, she looks like she smokes the Zaza, and you shouldn't judge people like that. I because there's a lot of people.
It's in her, like, speaking of someone who is in healthcare, right? Look at her face, right? You see, I would tell people the sunken eyes, the dehydrated skin, like does like she is a lot of runners, even though they're slim, they're very built.
Mm-hmm.
You see that, right? You know that with runners, right? She's very slim. I'm not saying she can have a small frame or anything, but I'm gonna say, since we're on the outside, for me, it's the orange hair. The orange hair and the long nails.
Now you're sounding like that.
Listen, say that to a Karen. Don't say that to somebody who's from the hood. Like, I'm from the hood, like you. All right, sis. She hookahs it up. She does her Zaza. I can tell. And it's okay.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No, it's okay.
But not when you're an Olympian.
But not when you're an Olympian. It's not
when you're an Olympian. And she's young. That's the other thing too. She is young, and she might not know yet how to separate. You know how to work herself in these different groups. Like, she's an Olympian, but she still want to be down with what's going on.
Like Serena, she better up it like Serena.
Listen, Serena has never been caught with the Zaza, and she was from Compton, right? No, it's true. I'm just saying. She was never, I mean, maybe she dibbled and dabbled, but when she took her career seriously, because they drug test you. Like, this is not like a, like...
Basketball players deal with it. Everybody goes through it, right?
Yeah.
So it's either you got the right team who's somebody who, well, it took blood work, so she couldn't get that switched up. But unless you get somebody who's going to give samples for you, or you can't do it.
Yeah, I mean, and I think for me, again, this might not have been the first time she's smoked and gotten blood, you know, blood drug tested or whatever. Yeah. They were like, listen, you're going to sit out for one run. But my thing is, this was a high stakes situation. This is
then the You know the test was coming. It's not a random test.
This is the Olympics. You know what I mean? Like, I understand, you know, you were in a very dark space, right? Because again, when you lose somebody that that is your blood, right? Your mother, your father, your grandmother, somebody who raised you, or again, in her case, sounds like the mother didn't raise her, but that's your biological mother. Okay. She probably had aspirations of rekindling a relationship with this woman. You know,
the fairy tale
of it. Like her, and she's young. She just like 21 years old. Like, you're a baby almost, right? Her life just changed in front of her.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, but I am not.
She hit this milestone in her life, right?
Yes.
So you can't even share it. Yeah.
You can't even share. So I totally understand. I sympathize and I empathize of where she's coming from. However, what I will say is this: if this is the Olympics we're talking about,
talk about it, Rita.
It's the Olympics we're talking about. You know that there's drug tests. And she said it too in her interview. She's like, I made the choices. And the thing is, if she's fine with the choice that she made and she understands the consequences for her, then that's on her. I feel like those of us now who are debating this out in social media.
Looking stupid.
I mean, people are debating this for her. When I saw her interview, it sounds like she, you know what, she's upset. She's pissed. Don't get me wrong. She was shaking her legs, you know, moving around in her body. She is not happy. But it also, to me, looks like she understood the consequences. She knew that this is something that she should not have done. But she did it anyways. It sucks. But now she got to gear up for the next 4 years. That's what it sounds like to me. But now it's us out here who is debating and fighting each other.
You can't debate. You can't fight that one. Because we're talking about the Olympics. They're talking about every country now. All right? And I think she tested for some Jamaican something, I think. It was something Jamaican's in there somewhere.
Oh, the Jamaican gleaner.
So the Jamaicans like this, she doing the ganja, yeah, she gotta go. The Jamaicans, if you can't hold Jamaicans accountable.
If the Jamaicans are not on board with your Zaza smoking.
If the Jamaicans are not on board and the Jamaicans had to make sure their stuff ain't got no ganja in it, they gotta make sure their bloodstream is clean, then you do two sis. If they can't get a pass, but a natural herb that ran out their country, you can't get a pass.
You can't get a pass. And it's funny because somebody did comment on the According to RP page, and she made a very good point. They're like, listen, we love her. We're rooting for her. We are here for her, but she cannot run.
No, she cannot run.
She cannot run. Those are rules.
Because Because imagine now if marijuana becomes okay for Olympians, right? Imagine now going to the Olympics, right? You're watching the show and then so-and-so don't show up.
Because they stoned.
So-and-so eating chips on the bench. Because he's right? So-and-so's way out of it, crawling somewhere. And you're like, what the hell is going on? Because it's also a matter of ethics, right? Mm-hmm. And athletes were always held up to higher standards. You know that,
they
right? are.
They've always been.
Their GPA has to be a certain way. Most of your things are on scholarship. It's always been an educational tool, educational piece attributed to any type of sports as well. Mm-hmm. All right. The training is rigorous. It's like, it's a survival of the fittest type of thing. Like, and if we want the best of the best to represent our country, right, in a worldwide competition, we need to make sure there's no tarnished behaviors. We need to make sure that you're spot clean, right? It's unfortunate, but if you decide to go into that realm, then that's what you have to think about. Or if you want to run in your backyard, you want to run at the track around the corner, you want to at Wingate.
Yeah, you want to go to Wingate.
If you want to do something, so you want to go around Prospect Park, cool. But if you want to represent America in the Olympics, right, the same thing you're going to do for president. Mm-hmm. You have your standards too, right? You got to now keep your stuff up to par. Girl, you're amazing. You have a talent. She's a runner. She's a track star.
Listen.
However, you ain't going to the Olympics this time around. This course that she was missing.
Yeah. At least not for the 100 meter. And it's funny you say that when we talk about the rigorousness, right? The rigorous structure and schedule that athletes have to go to. I had friends who went to the NFL and they even their sex was regulated, right? Before a game, you could not have sex like 2 days before, like, because you needed your stamina to be up. Like, it's that serious. Mm-hmm. It's that serious. Like, they had whole wives and they could be like, nah, our coach said we can't do X, Y, and Z. And they did not, because they also knew, like, afterwards, you know, they do whatever they need to do. But in order to prepare, their diet had to be a certain way. They had to control their sex life. Again, certain drugs, not just enhancement drugs, but drugs in general. I mean, here's my thing. Zaza now is pretty much legal almost everywhere. You know, when she ingested it, she was in Oregon. She was not in a state where it was illegal, nothing like that. But the thing is, again, the rules are the rules. And people are like, oh, you know, now everybody's rules. You know, rules are rules. I'm sorry. Especially when it comes to the Olympics, they've always been crazy with that. Like I said, yeah. Michael Phelps' career has been trashed and tarnished. How many people's careers have been trashed and tarnished? Or I even forgot about Michael Phelps, to be very honest, at this point.
I used to want to see him.
Yeah. And it's done for. It's done for, right? But maybe there needs to be a reevaluation. I think Joe Biden, President Biden, made this remark himself. He's like, you know, like, rules are rules. However, should they be the same? Should they stay the same? Should there be a revision? And I think that because marijuana is not a performance enhancement drug, you know, maybe there could be a revision. But again, it's not, track is not the only game or sport in the Olympics, right? There are so many other focus-driven sports where your attention
is needed. Yeah.
There. So now
it's just somebody else.
Yeah.
Imagine you on the rowing team, right? Remember that? I used to love the rowers. Oh, yes. My God. So, I still watch it always, right?
Or fencing.
Yeah, imagine you're on a one of those actual contact sports or something. You know, you get it, and you're not able to fully be in your lucid mind, right? Because you just smoked something probably a couple hours ago to put the nerves down to go and do the, you know, the competition, and you hurt yourself. You hurt somebody. You put somebody at risk because you were unable to have proper safety awareness or make the proper judgment call, right?
Yeah.
So that's
where the issue comes in, because now you're picking and choosing. Because now we could be like, marijuana is okay for track. Marijuana is okay for all running sports, but marijuana is not going to be okay for fencing, for rowing, for swimming. Like, at that point, people have to look at the bigger picture. You can't just make, again, society is not fair. The law is not fair. We understand that, right?
Yeah.
Fair, but that does not mean that there's not a protocol. And unfortunately, as Black people, we not only do we have to be on our P's and Q's, we got to be on top of the P's and Q's. Right? You have to be on top because we know that we're not
to the eye.
Yeah, we're it should not be that way, but we understand what the society is that we live in, right? And they could do all the rules changing that they want. It's not going to change Black people's station in life, right? When it comes to American living. I think that the rules are the rules. I think that she understood that. She even acknowledged it herself. She's mad at herself. And I could see that in her face. She is mad at herself. But she needed the coping, right? And maybe that's greater than the Olympics for her right now.
Exactly. I agree.
Maybe it could be.
Maybe she needs some time. Maybe you need some time away to just kind of get yourself together, get some counseling.
And she said that.
Get some counseling, take a break. Maybe it's too long. But I also feel like, why would you have to take the blood if you knew it was going to be in there?
I mean, my thing is that maybe she's going to be able to beat it. Because here's the thing. We don't know when.
All drug is saying they're going to beat it.
Yeah, I mean, they always say that. But we don't know when she actually
went to
Gaza, right?
They did a timeline. There was a timeline in there because something that went back to her suspension or something would start or end, I think, June 28th. Something like that. They timelined it because it only stays in your system for a certain amount of time.
I think it was during the time her mom... So her mother had recently died. It wasn't like she was died 2 months ago or whatever. She had recently died. So I think whenever that situation happened is when she engaged in smoking. Mm-hmm. And then I don't know how long from the time the mother died till the race or whatever, the blood test. I'm pretty sure it was only a couple of weeks, right? So it wasn't like, she smoked it 6 months ago and it's still in her system or whatever.
I think it's within the month.
I think it's within 30 days, anywhere, from there. But I think that, she appreciates what happened. She appreciates the consequences. And she said it herself. She's like, if she doesn't get to run in the relay race, which is a possibility for her, she's just going to work on herself and get ready for the next time.
Yeah. But she has the wrong team members, I feel. If you're smoking, you need somebody who needs to tell you how to lather your song. In English, and somebody who know how to wash the blood.
That's true. Where are the detox?
Where's the charcoal? Where's the this? Where's the that? Wash your blood out. Cleanse, detox.
The detox tea.
The detox, sis.
There is a detox tea out there. I've heard people use it.
What happened, sis? So the wrong team members.
The wrong team members.
Damn. If she was on my team, she would have been Olympus. I'm like, girl, don't worry about it. We got you. Mm-hmm, drink this.
Maybe they don't smoke. Maybe that's the problem. Because she's smoking with the people from her block. She's probably not smoking with her team members.
She didn't ask the block people how to get by through the blood work. She didn't ask them.
She should have asked them because they would have known because that's how they passed their drug tests for work.
She didn't ask Pookie and Nene.
She didn't ask Ray Ray and them. I mean, this is where education comes into play, right? This is where education comes into play. If you are going to engage in activities that could get you fired, right? Because people are getting fired right from left from drug tests, talking about, it's just marijuana. But there's an anti-marijuana drug rule at your job. You signed the sheet that said that But okay, you still want to partake. I get it. It's not fair that some people get to smoke and you don't because of your government job. I get it. So that means if you want to partake, you need to understand the metrics. How many days? When is the next drug test coming? Is it random? You know what I'm saying? Where do I get the tea to get this out of my system? Who can I get to come pee in the cup for me? You know what I'm saying? There needs to be a system in place if you are hell-bent on breaking the rules.
I totally agree. I feel like you need to have your backup system, your team.
Where's your squad? Where's your tribe?
She's 21 years old. Okay. She's 21. Yeah, I know she's from the hood. She's been smoking.
This is not a new thing. She's been smoking. That's how she knows that would help her cope, because she knows.
Why do you think Nike didn't let her go? They knew she was smoking.
Nike is also this is not even a drug anymore at this point. We're not about, and they know that she's going to come back strong. So they're like, we're not about to turn our back on marijuana. If it was cocaine, now that's a different story. But marijuana, I mean, the crazy part is, and this is why, this is why people are kind of the government was just giving joints for jabs for the vaccine. The government was offering you a marijuana cigarette, a Zaza cigarette.
A Zaza.
if you took the vaccine. So how is the government offering this drug as an incentive for people to get a vaccination? And you're going to tell me that Shikari, who should have been sleeping at the wheel, won the race under the influence of the Zaza. That logic doesn't sit well with many people. That's why people are so confused about this. But for me, as a strict constructionalist or whatever the case is, in this case, you have to, the rules are the rules, because if you start bending it for track stars versus swimmers versus whatever, you get into messy territory. Just say no drugs, period.
Yeah, and that's where they're at. They're like, no drugs, period. You know that. You've trained for that. You're very much well aware of that. And whatever their ethics or morals or their pledge or whatever it is that it is, you got to live by it. And it's not changed up for nobody, because the Olympics is not even a black sport like that. Like
the Olympics don't play no games.
They're not changing it for nobody, all right? Haitians, Jamaicans, all y'all who think are going to come to the Olympics.
Yugoslavians.
Yeah, to the Romanian Olympics, okay? We'll have to get it together and go. Not Romanian, Greek Olympics, okay? I'm going to have to go, bow down, and call it a day. Okay? They're not changing it.
That's it.
Because that's a white-owned business, okay? The Olympics is white-owned, okay?
Yeah. And the offenders, the performance enhancement taking people, are usually of the Caucasian persuasion. Anyways.
Yeah. You know why? Because, first of all, for a black person to reach that far into the Olympics, you know, there's no average you can make. You know that already.
Yeah.
And your team will tell you that. Yo, we cannot mess up. Like, they're going to be guarding you throughout the Olympics. They're going to be, you know, like, you got to tease people around you at all times. They're kind of watching where you're going. They're with you, because no mistakes can be made.
No. No.
Mm. Oh, Lord.
Girl, so, I mean, Shikari, you know, as Tyra was saying, we were all rooting for you.
But sorry for your loss.
But no, of course, sorry for the loss. I mean, because that's a hard, that's the thing. That's why people are conflicted, because it's hard. She's a young woman. She went through some tragedies. You could tell she probably went through a lot more even before the mother passed away. You know what I'm saying? Like, and then it's marijuana at the end of the day. If the government can offer it as an vaccination incentive, clearly.
America does, but not the Olympics.
Yeah, that is true.
Worldwide, you know?
That's the truth. The world has not offered joints for jabs at this juncture. But it's sad, though, because it's like, man, like, you know, you really, we really saw, like, where this can go. But the good thing is, and she said it herself, she's still young. She's going to be here at the age of 24, still a child, and she's still going to, like, her talent is not going to diminish, you know, because she didn't do it this time. You know, by the time 4 years comes around, she might even be even faster, right?
But guess what? This point of her, what she did right here, will be a point in history. So then 4 years ago, when she goes to the Olympics, they're going to say, hi, this is whatever, remember,
it'll be part of her narrative, who couldn't stay with her. Yeah.
Who qualified for the Olympics, but then it got removed and revoked because she was, you know, put to positive for marijuana. Mm-hmm. And now she's back 4 years later, turned into, they don't care.
It's going to be part of a narrative, but you know what? 4 years from now, though, I would like to see how that would look, because, again, marijuana is essentially legal almost everywhere now. I'm sure there is going to be some sort of look back at the rules. I don't think that they're going to change it, because it's too much of a slippery slope to be. Mm-hmm.
Things already started.
Exactly. But I would like to see how the narrative is going to play out for her moving forward. And I hope that moving forward, you know, she's still going to be competing in different things. She's still going to be out here in these streets running and doing. And she might even still be in the Olympic for the relay, right? So it might still be a thing for her. But I hope that, I mean, I think she's learned her lesson. I watching the interview, I think she's just mad at herself for allowing this to happen. But I also think that she's like, I needed it though. Y'all can say what y'all want to say, but I needed this to get through this hump of my life.
But is the hump over?
The hump is not over, but I'm hoping that this loss essentially helps her to identify other ways to cope, possibly going into therapy now, right? Finding other ways to deal with her issues.
CBD oil, hello.
CBD oil, you know? But somebody who's a blunt smoker don't care about no damn CBD oil.
But she can make some edibles with it.
We don't care. But the edibles, yeah. But I mean, but she want to smoke the blunt. I don't even think she smokes vapes. She don't even look like somebody who's vaping. I think she rolls it up with the backwoods and smokes her blunt. I think that's what she does. With the little paper, the little, you know, they're rolling it up, little licking the sides, breaking up the seeds. I think that's what she does. And I think she enjoys it.
They lick it too.
They lick it. She enjoys it. She likes the process of it. I'm telling you.
Her nails be rise up like, you know how you be.
Shikari is not smoking vapes. She is not smoking vapes. She might be eating edibles for the fun of it, but this lady is a blunt smoker, okay?
Blunt smoker. She's a blunt smoker. She's a blunt smoker.
And a track star. She's a blunt smoker and a track star.
She's going away when it gets hot. Yeah.
You know? This is what she is. So, she I mean...
Thank you.
I think she's accepted. I think it's the world that's continuing to make this a debate. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You ain't going, child. See you next time.
See you next time. Or maybe see you in the relay race. She's still at 100%. Like, she still has a chance, from what I understand, as of today. Maybe it'll change tomorrow, but I think she still has a chance to be part of the relay race.
Okay.
Not her signature 100 meter, but the relay race.
But guess what? Now everyone's going to want to see her.
Of course.
Because even me, I want to see her run now. I've never seen her run.
I saw her run, and she's amazing. She's amazing. And I'm upset that she does not get that, because the 100 meter, that's her signature. That's the spotlight. Like, that's, Shikari has crossed the line. With the relay, it's like a team effort, right? So it's going to be like, the team.
Yeah.
The team crossed the line. Yeah. So different situation. But, I mean, bless her soul, though. She's young. We all make mistakes. I'm mad for her that this was the mistake, you know. This was the mistake she ended up making.
Or the consequence of her mistake, yeah.
Yeah, but...
The magnitude, yeah.
But we all learn. We live and we learn, and she will run another day. She will run another day. And, yeah, I mean, that's all I have to say about that.
Oh, my gosh. Well, Shikari, good luck. Heal, but baby girl, heal.
Heal.
Heal, yeah.
Mm. Well, Jessica.
Well...
This has been an interesting episode. I
loved it.
Yeah, it's been interesting. And I got to go back to see how long this thing actually... No, it's not you, girl. The problem is that, you know, when you find somebody who's able to talk about all these different things, you're like, man, let me get it all out there. And it's like, but we don't have the time. But now that I know that you are up for the challenge, I will probably be calling upon you quite regularly to comment and to be part of the According to RP show.
Good. Don't call me, Rita. You know I'm here.
I'm gonna call you, girl.
I'm here, you know, and I think there's a lot to say. So and I'm here for it all. You know,
yes, 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 yes. I mean, we have to be, right? I mean, if it's not us, then who? If not us, then who? But thank you so much, Jessica, for taking the time on a Sunday. It's July 4th. You could have been, I don't know,
home. Party.
Frying burgers.
Yeah.
But you're here with me, and I appreciate it.
Well, it was a pleasure. Yes. Thank you so much. Okay.
You're welcome. All right, everyone. Well, thank you so much for tuning into another episode of According to RP on WJMS Radio, powered by Black Ivy Media. It's your girl, Rita Pierre, your host, and I will talk to you guys next week.
You were listening to According to RP on WJMS Radio.
About time you tuned in.
Tune in each and every Sunday.
I can't wait to come back.
7 p.m. Eastern.